Is on the call. We'll start the recording.
I started recording.
Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Gauranga Darshan Prabhuji on the topic Srimad Bhagavatam 4.25.31. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you there in the call? Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. I now hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. Very happy to join the Bhakti Sangha group again for the second time. So today I have been asked to speak on the 31st shloka of 4.25, descriptions of character of Puranjana. And also I was requested to give a summary of this chapter up to this shloka. So I will try to summarize the chapter. It's like almost half of the chapter that we need to cover today. So I'll give a brief and a quick outline of the chapter up to the 31st shloka. So the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam predominantly discusses the topic of Visarga. Sarga means the creation done by the Supreme Lord, and Visarga means the secondary creation done by Brahmaji.
Yeah. Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Prabhuji, your voice is very low and it's echoing. I don't know what happened. Everybody is mute, but...
Hare Krishna. Probably my internet connection is not good enough. Am I audible now?
Yes, Prabhuji, yes.
I'll try to speak a little loudly. So, in the fourth canto, the prominent topic is Visarga. Visarga means the creation of this universe done by the Supreme Lord, done by Brahmaji and his descendants, including the sons of Brahma, the Manus and the Prajapatis. All this creation will come under Visarga. So, as a part of this Visarga, we see that Brahmaji has created so many things, beginning from the third canto, 12th chapter. He created the five features of Nisains. He created the four Kumaras. And he also created four Vedas and different fine arts. And so many things Brahmaji has manifested. And finally, he manifested the first Manu, that is Svayambhu Manu. And Svayambhu Manu had five children, three daughters and two sons. Devahuti, Akuti and Prasuti are the three daughters. Uttanapada and Privrata are the two sons. So, this Svayambhu Manu's dynasty, Hare Krishna. So, from the third canto, 20th chapter, till the fifth canto, 15th chapter, the descendants of the five children of Svayambhu Manu are described. The fourth canto describes the fourth canto, eighth chapter onwards, we find the descriptions of the descendants of Uttanapad Maharaj. So Maharaj Uttanapad's son is Dhruva Maharaj, and in Dhruva Maharaj's lineage there are so many wonderful exalted kings, including Prithu Maharaj, Prachinabarhi, Prachetas, Anga Maharaj, and also there is one bad king named Veena. So these are all the descendants of Dhruva. So this Prachinabarhi Maharaj is coming in the line of Dhruva Maharaj. So Prachinabarhi, he is also called Prachinabarhishat, or sometimes he is also called Barhishat in short. So this Prachinabarhi was very much attached to karmakandic sacrifices. So he performs so many sacrifices that he would make arrangements for another sacrifice while the current sacrifice is closing, is coming to an end. So like that, he was so addicted to karmakandik Vedic sacrifices. And Narada Muni once took compassion on Prachinabarhi and he came to him to enlighten him. And at this time, Prachinabarhi's sons were the Prachetas. They were doing austerities in the forest. And these Prachetas, the 10 Prachetas, were enlightened by Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva voluntarily came in front of Prachetas and instructed Prachetas how to perform devotional service of Krishna. And he even said, Yah param brahma sasakshat triguna jiva samyatat bhagavantam vasudevam prapannah sapriyohime. Yah param brahma sasakshat means the person who has surrendered himself unto the Supreme Lord Vasudeva is extremely dear to Lord Shiva. So, prapannah sapriyohime bhagavantam vasudevam. So here Shiva is clearly saying that If you surrender unto the Supreme Lord Krishna, then that is pleasing to my heart. So we can see in the lives of Prachetas that Lord Shiva has voluntarily come to guide Prachetas in devotional service and taught them Rudra Gita. And in the life of their father, Prachinabarhi, we have seen that a pure devotee, Narada Muni, came to give him guidance in devotional service. Thus, Narada Muni and Shiva, they are pure devotees and they wanted to guide this Prachinabarhi and Prachetas in bhakti. So the nature of a pure devotee is that para dukkha dukkhi. A pure devotee is always very distressful, seeing the distress of other living entities. So there's a pure devotee takes upon himself or herself this responsibility of expanding the process of Krishna consciousness and inspiring people in general to practice devotional service. Thus, we see that in the beginning of the chapter, Narada Muni voluntarily came to Prachinabarhi and told him, what is the use of performing so many karmakandik sacrifices? Performing karmakandik sacrifices is not necessary for a pure devotee. So now Prachinabarhi is not pure devotee, but Narada Muni is training him to become a pure devotee. So Narada Muni asked Prachinabarhishat. He was so compassionate that he asked him, what do you desire to achieve by these karmas? In the third and fourth slokas, Narada Muni is asking, it is not possible to get rid of miseries and attain happiness by doing karma. So to attain ultimate spiritual happiness, we need to develop detachment from material world and attachment to the Supreme Lord. So detachment from sense gratification and attachment to Krishna will simultaneously happen when we practice bhakti under the guidance of pure devotees like Narada Muni. So Narada Muni came and questioned, unless you practice bhakti yoga, you cannot detach yourself from distress and you cannot attain ultimate spiritual happiness. So he says that by following this process of karma, you will not attain any happiness, and dukkha, you will attain only miseries. So he said that, then Prachinabarhi requested Narada Muni, my dear Narada Muni, I thought this is Vedic sacrifices and I'm performing these Vedic sacrifices, but if you find some problem, specific problem with this process, can you please enlighten me? Please guide me on what is the right path which is relevant for me, which can uplift me. So Prachinabarhi did not argue with Narada Muni. Prachinabarhi was not arrogant. Actually, non-devotees are of two types. One, in the 11th canto, 5th chapter, it is mentioned. Non-devotees are of two types. One, na bhajanti. Second is avajananti. Na bhajanti means those people who do not perform bhakti because they are ignorant. Then second category of people are, they do not perform bhakti because they are arrogant. They are so proud. They are so puffed up. So one may not perform bhakti out of ignorance or out of arrogance. So these people who are ignorant or innocent, they can be transformed by the mercy given to them by pure devotees. So Narada Muni enlightened so many such innocent and ignorant people, but there are arrogant people also. Daksha was arrogant. So Narada Muni could not give him bhakti yoga, instructions on bhakti. So arrogant people, it takes a lot of time for arrogant people to transform, but innocent people are meant to be shown some kindness. So Narada Muni voluntarily came to guide Prachinabarhi in devotional service. So in the fifth shloka, Prachinabarhi requested Narada Muni, Narada Muni, because my intelligence is entangled in karma, I do not know the ultimate goal of life. Pumsam striyam mithuni bhavametam tayor mitha hridaya granthi mahuhu. When someone is too absorbed in materialistic affairs and selfish affairs and demoniac activities, then one will, and there is a tight knot to this material world through material life, then it's very difficult to release oneself from this knot. And Prahlad Maharaj told Hiranyakashipu, he said that Matirna Krishne Paratah Svatova Mitho Vipadyeta Grahavratanam Adanta Gobhir Vishatam Tamishram Punaha Punaha Charvita Charvananam Matirna Krishne Paratah Svatova. People, materialistic people, will not develop any inclinations towards Krishna consciousness by their own efforts, by others' efforts, or a combination of both. Voluntarily, they do not take to the process of bhakti. And secondly, even if other devotees like Narada Muni come and inspire them, also they will not take care of bhakti. They will not take to bhakti. And a combination of both also will not work. Mithoabhipadyeta grahavratanam. One who is so absorbed in grahavrata. Grahavrata means thinking that home is all in all. Thinking that materialistic household life is everything. A householder, a grihastha devotee, has to be very responsibly and diligently take care of one's family, considering oneself as servants of the family members, considering those family members as children of God who are kept under this person's protection. So in that way, a Krishna conscious householder actually comes closer to Krishna by inspiring the family members in practice of bhakti, and oneself also practicing bhakti. But there are grahavratas, there are grahamedhis, who do not keep Krishna in the center of their household life. They keep sense gratification in the center of their household life. So such people cannot develop Krishna conscious inclinations by their own endeavors or the endeavors of other devotees or a combination of both. So matir na krishne paratah svatova mitho vipadyeta grahavratanam adanta gobhir means uncontrolled senses. Gobhi means senses, danta means control, adanta means uncontrolled. Because of uncontrolled senses, adanta gobhir dvishatam tamishram, they will enter into hellish regions. Punaha punaha charvita charvananam, they just chew the already chewed stuff. So they, for example, somebody eats sugar cane and the juice is totally taken out. And if they take that rejected sugar cane, that pulp, and then try to chew again, you will not get anything. But foolish people imagine that they're eating sugar cane, although there is no juice in it. Similarly, the pleasures in this material world are very boring in the ultimate sense. And there is not much of excitement in these pleasures. But because of the influence of illusory energy or maya, a conditioned soul tends to believe that there is happiness in this maya sukha also. In this stale happiness also. Punaha punaha charvita charvanana. So somebody may control one's senses to attain some material benefits or wealth or name, fame, prestige. And once one attains such material benefits, then they will become victims of uncontrolled senses. For instance, we have seen so many rakshasas doing so many austerities, severe austerities, to please different devatas. And when the devata comes and offers a benediction to this rakshasa, then the demon will become a victim of uncontrolled senses. Hiranyakashipu's example directly. Hiranyakashipu performed such severe austerities that half of his body was eaten by insects and ants. There was no flesh on one side of his body, only ribs, only skeleton was there. He was barely maintaining his life air within the bones. So in this way, Hiranyakashipu has performed severe austerities by controlling his senses, not eating properly, very severe austerities. But Brahmaji came and gave Hiranyakashipu benedictions. After that, Hiranyakashipu became a victim of uncontrolled senses. That is, people who are entangled in karma, they do not know the ultimate goal of their life. Prahlad says this also. He says, Nate viduhu swartha gatim hi vishnum durashayaye bahir artha manina. Bahir artha manina. They think that external things are external materialistic things to be artha, to be very purposeful, to be very meaningful, to be very useful. Bahir artha manina. Such people tend to believe like that. Bahir artha manina. And they are also guided by some unscrupulous people. And just like blind people guided by other blind people will fall into ditch. So these materialistic people will be misguided. But some fortunate people like Prachina Barhi get the guidance of Narada Muni. Pure devotees like Narada Muni. Prahalad got the guidance of Narada Muni. Now Prachina Barhi is also getting guidance of Narada Muni. So Prachina Barhi is saying, my dear Lord, my dear Narada Muni, since my intelligence is entangled in karma, I do not know what is the ultimate goal of life. Nate viduhu swartha gatim hi vishnum durashaya ye bahir artha maninaha. Durasha means very greedy mentality to attain lot of material enjoyment. And kindly instruct me in knowledge so that I can get out of this entanglement. In the fifth shloka he says like that. So innocent and ignorant people, when they are told that this is right and this is wrong, they will listen. But arrogant people, if they are told what is right, what is wrong, they will not listen. Prachina Barhi, although he was absorbed in karmakandic activities, he had respect for sadhus. He had very good disposition or consciousness to hear from an exalted soul. So when the conditioned soul is covered by thick layers of false ego and material desires, to penetrate through these false ego and layers of material desires and reach the soul and inform that soul, my dear sir, you are a servant of Krishna. That is very difficult. So when people who are completely covered by material desires and false ego are told that they are servants of Krishna, they cannot accept it. But people who are not so egoistic, they may have a lot of material desires and all, but they have some simplicity, some respect for sadhus. They don't have so much of false pride. So such people can be transformed into devotees when they receive mercy of pure devotees. Here, although this person Prachina Barhishat was so absorbed in karmakandic activities, he had that respect for Narada Muni. He had that simplicity and innocence and obedience and respect to accept instructions from Narada Muni. And he's begging for that instructions. He says about the misfortune of grihasthas. He says, Griheshu kota dharmeshu kutra daradhanartha dhihi naparam mindate mudho brahmyan samsara vartmasu. He says, Griheshu kota dharmeshu. People who are fixed, people whose intelligence is fixed in false occupational duties, kuta dharmeshu. Dharma is like a glorious activity, is like one's duty, prescribed duty. But kuta dharma is false occupation, false occupational duties of household life. And putra dara dhanartha dhihi. Putra means children, dara is wife, dhana is wealth. So if one is absorbed always in the thoughts of these people only, this putra, dara and dhana. Yes, one has to think about one's wife and children and family members and household life and wealth and occupation, animals, vehicles. So these are all very much needed for the maintenance of one's life. But that should not be the only subject matter of one's contemplation. one should also have some mind space and time allocated for spiritual practices. So one who is totally absorbed in only these things cannot have spiritual inclinations. That is the misfortune of such materialistic people. That's what here Prachinavar, he is honestly expressing. Naparam vindate mudho brahmyan samsara vartmasu. They cannot attain liberation. They just brahmyan samsara vartmasu means they just wander in this material existence like that. So Narada Muni then kindly in the 7th and 8th verses, Narada Muni gives he gives a vision to Prachinabarhi, and in this vision Prachinabarhi sees all the animals that he had sacrificed. So he had sacrificed so many animals, and these animals are waiting for the death of Prachinabarhi so that they can take revenge on Prachinabarhi, like that. And overindulgence in animal sacrifices is risky, although they may be prescribed in certain shastras. That does not mean one can completely be indulged in that sacrifices only. That's why Buddha came. Nindasi yagna videha shruti jatam sadaya hridaya darshita pashu ghatam keshava dhrita buddha sharira jaya jagadisha hare. Means to stop this animal killing that is happening in very rampant way, the Supreme Lord Vishnu came in the form of Buddha to stop it. And now to enlighten Prachinabarhi further on the subject matter, Narada Muni narrates a story of Puranjan. So he says that, my dear Puranjan, there is an old story, an old history of a king called Puranjana. It's not an old story. It's basically an allegorical story. It's like an example. It did not exist as such. There was no king named Puranjana, but he existed virtually in the form of all the conditioned souls. All the conditioned souls can be called Puranjana. Pura means this body. Jana means the person who dwells within the body. So Puranjana means the conditioned soul who is embodied within a material body, specifically a human body. So he started speaking about this Puranjan story. And basically this Puranjan is Prachinabarhi only, or any conditioned soul for that matter. And this Puranjana is called Brihatshrava. Brihatshrava means one whose glories are known everywhere. In the 10th sloka, Narada Muni says that he is Brihatshrava, means he is very famous for his material activities. Conditioned soul performs so many material activities in different lives, multiple material lives. So that's why he is called Brihatshrava. And this Puranjana, who is a Brihatshrava, means this Puranjana who had so many material activities in several lifetimes, he also has a wonderful friend named Avignata. Avignata was the friend of Puranjan. Avignata means, Avignata is the super soul. Avignata means you cannot understand him. So he is hidden. So Avignata is the super soul whose activities are unknown. So super soul accompanies the conditioned soul. Basically, Krishna loves all his parts and parcels, the jivas, so much so that even if the jiva commits such abominable activities and takes birth as a worm in stool also, and as an ant also, as a pig also, the Lord stays right within that soul's heart as super soul. The Lord accompanies that living entity. So thus Krishna is always very kind. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddesh arjuna tishthati means within the region of heart the Lord stays in all living entities. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. The Lord stays within the hearts of all living entities and gives them remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. So in this way, Puranjana had a friend named Avignata, super soul, and the activities of super soul are unknown. We'll go to the 11th and 12th verses now. In the 11th verse, it is described by Narada Muni that Puranjan was traveling all over the world. He was traveling all over the world for a proper place for residing. To reside in a proper place, he was just searching for that place. Basically, this represents the conditioned soul's wanderings in this material existence. And specifically the conditioned soul is aspiring for a human body, because within human body he has maximum access to lot of material comforts, because a human being is more advanced intellectually and mentally than other animals. So thus this avijnata, this puranjana, traveled all over the world to find a suitable place for living, so to fulfill his material desires for sense gratification, and he comes to a city of 9 gates. So this human body has 9 gates, the 2 eyes, the 2, basically the 9 holes in the body are considered the 9 gates of the body, the 2 eyes, the 2 ears, and the mouth, etc., etc. Then he was searching, and then he did not get a body, he did not get a city, so he was disappointed, he was morose, but still finally he found a city of 9 gates. So while wandering in the southern side of Himalayas, in Bharatvarsha, he says like that. So in Bharatvarsha, which is like a place of karma, place of varnashram, so the conditioned soul will get a material body, human body, to perform so many karmic activities. And that city has so many facilities. So the different elements of city are compared with different bodily parts. So Narada Muni is describing the city, and Prabhupada is giving what that aspect of city represents in the material body. It's a very wonderful comparison that comes from 14th sloka till 19th sloka. It's the description of the city of 9 gates, or the description of the material body with 9 holes. First, Narada Muni says, there are walls. The walls of this city are, this city is the skin. And there are parks. Parks are hairs. There are towers. The towers are like high parts, like the nose and the ears, etc., head. And there are trenches or canals. They are like wrinkles and depressions in the body. There are windows. The windows are compared to eyes. And there are gates. They are the eyelids. Of course, the 9 gates, the main 9 gates are there. Within the city also, there are some gates. They are like eyelids. And there are houses. The houses are houses with silver, gold, and iron domes. So these houses with these 3 domes represent the 3 material modes. Sattvaguna, Rajoguna, Tamoguna. Sattvaguna is like gold, and Rajoguna is like silver, and Tamoguna is like, I'm sorry, these are the 3 modes. Tamoguna is like this iron. And not only 3 modes, these 3 domes represent 3 dhatus also. There are 3 dhatus, kapha, vata, pitta, mucus, bile, and air. So these 3 domes represent 3 modes and 3 dhatus also, both. And there is capital of the city, that is compared to the heart. And there are floors made of sapphire and crystal. They are like various desires and plans for material enjoyment. And there is assembly house, that is the heart. And there are street crossings, there are flags and festoons. Flags and festoons are these palms, because on palms and soles there are some symbols, auspicious or inauspicious, there are some rekhas and all that. They all represent flags and festoons in the city. And there are streets. They are like Ida Pingala running down the spine. And there are gambling houses. They are like gross locations of senses. There is market, that is gross mind or brain. Is the marketplace, which is the storehouse of so many things. Mind has unlimited material impressions, that it is like a marketplace only. In marketplace, you find so many things. Vegetables are there, toys, shoes, dresses, clothes. So many things are available in a marketplace, big market, big bazaar. So that is mind. Mind has so many material desires. And resting places are there, that is chitta. There are so many beautiful trees and creepers. There are favorable conditions surrounding the sex symbols. So like that, Narada Muni compares different aspects of the material body with different elements of the city with 9 gates. The wind, waterfall, and spring air in that city are compared to the different types of rasas, sparsha, smell, different types of tanmatras or sense objects. And there are non-violent animals. So there is no sinful reaction due to pious results. They are compared to non-violent animals. There are sweet singing cuckoos in that city. They are family members, friends, and guests who are very favorable and friendly towards us. They are like compared to cuckoos. So in that city, Puranjana sees one woman. Her name is Puranjani. Who is this Puranjani? She is basically the material intelligence of the conditioned soul. So the material intelligence is compared to the wife of this Puranjana. Puranjana is the soul, and the conditioned soul's wife is the material intelligence. The material intelligence is compared to Puranjani. So this Puranjani is intelligence functioning with ignorance. So they, people who are ignorant also have intelligence. Ignorant means they are not totally mad. Ignorance basically is avidya shakti. And under the umbrella of avidya shakti, people operate in various ways with intelligence, with great intelligence. Somebody may be seemingly an extremely high intellectual, very great philosopher, or very great writer, or intelligent businessman. But if one is averse to a sense of subordination to Krishna, basically such a person is influenced by the Maya Shakti or Avidya Shakti. So Avidya potency of the Lord empowers such a person to think in a materialistic way. So intelligence is opposite to ignorance. One may think like that. But under the umbrella of ignorance, one can operate with a lot of intelligence. How to enjoy sense gratification. But spiritual intelligence, under the umbrella of spiritual intelligence, a devotee is innocent and pure-hearted. So under the umbrella of spiritual intelligence, a soul is innocent and pure-hearted without any material contamination. But under the umbrella of material intelligence, a conditioned soul is very smart and diligent enough to get sense gratification. So this intelligence to get sense gratification is condemned, and this innocent surrender to Krishna and submissiveness to Krishna and obedience to Krishna and alignment with the process of bhakti yoga is very much appreciated like that. And Puranjani means this woman, that is basically material intelligence. She came on her own, yadrichaya, and the initial relationship of the jiva with the material intelligence arises without cause. So one may attain material intelligence. So one is spiritually intelligent generally. The pure soul is spiritually intelligent, but the conditioned soul is materially intelligent. And one cannot trace out when did my intelligence become material. One cannot trace out that. Prabhupada says it's not necessary to trace out also. Right now, you surrender unto pure devotees and sharpen your intelligence. Spiritualize your intelligence. Brahmaji says in his prayers, very beautiful prayer. Jnane prayasamudapasyana manta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya varta sthane sthitah shrutigatam tanuvan manobhir ye prayasojita jitopyasita istrilokyam. He says, Jnane prayasamudapasya means give up your speculative endeavors to cultivate knowledge. Cultivate speculative knowledge. Give up your endeavors to cultivate speculative knowledge. Jnane prayasa. And actually, a devotee is satisfied with whatever spiritual knowledge one attains from bona fide sources. A spiritual seeker or a devotee does not endeavor to accumulate a lot of material knowledge about so many affairs in this universe. There are 100 things in this universe. You don't
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I think he has lost connection.
Yeah.
We'll just stay on the call and wait for Prabhuji to return. Surely internet connection was an issue. So we'll just wait for him.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Yeah, Prabhuji will come, Mataji, one second. Maybe we'll wait and see.
Mataji, can you text him and check Mataji, or we can connect him through audio remotely?
Yeah, Hare Krishna. I just texted Prabhuji. Looks like his internet connection is down.
Okay.
Because the message also is not going through, Mataji. So,
okay. Then one of us can connect him. Lalitanji, Mataji, are you on the phone?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, looks like you're on mute, Prabhu.
Oh, it got disconnected. Okay.
Yeah. We can hear you, Prabhu, now.
Okay.
Yes.
Sorry for the interruption. My internet is a bit poor. So, we were discussing this material intelligence. This Puranjani represents material intelligence. And we were discussing how this material intelligence is ultimately under the shelter of ignorance, under the umbrella of ignorance. And one has to give up one's inclinations to cultivate speculative knowledge or speculative intelligence and surrender into pure devotees. We were discussing this shloka. Jnane prayasamudapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartah. Sthane sthitah shruti gatam tanuvan manobher ek prayaso jita jito apyasita istri lokyam. Jnane prayasa udapasya. Give up your endeavors to cultivate speculative knowledge or intelligence. And do what? Jnane prayasa udapasya namanta eva. Just offer obeisances. Unto whom? Jivanti sanmukharitam. And offer obeisances to pure devotees. And san mukharitam bhavadiya vartah. And hear about the beautiful descriptions of Krishna's nama, rupa and guna, leela from those pure devotees. One should give up one's own endeavors to cultivate material intelligence, material knowledge and surrender unto pure devotees and hear about Krishna from those pure devotees. Jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiya vartah. Sthane sthitah. One can continue to be in one's own position. Sthane sthitaha means one can remain in one's own position as a brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, or brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, whatever may be one's social status or spiritual status, one can remain there, but one has to dedicate to the process of hearing from great souls. So, sthane sthitaha shruti gatam, tanuvan manobhir, just listen to great souls, surrender to great souls, be obedient to the instructions of great souls. Tanuvan manobhir, in your body, mind and words, be obedient to them. Tanuvan manobhir. Ek prayaso ajita jitopyasi tais trilokyam. In this way, one can conquer that Supreme Lord who is unconquerable in all the three worlds. So this is what Brahmaji says directly. Nane prayasa udapasya namanta eva. So that knowledge, that intelligence that we cultivate under the guidance of pure devotees and by studying scriptures, by the guidance of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, that is called spiritual intelligence. And that material intelligence that makes us plan for material enjoyment, plan for sense gratification, and degrade the soul more and more into the lower species and ultimately take one to hellish conditions, that kind of material intelligence, which is under the umbrella of ignorance, is not meant to be cultivated. So, in Brahmaji's prayers only, in the third canto, there is another beautiful shloka that says that yanna vrajantya ghabhido rachana anuvada srinvanti enya vishaya kukathamati ghnihi yastu shrutahata bhagair nubhirata sara tamstam kshupantya sharane shutabasu hanta. In this shloka, Brahmaji says that yanna vrajanti, so those materialistic people cannot enter the spiritual realm. He described Vaikuntha till now in the third canto of Bhagavatam. And he said, yanna vrajanti, one will not enter that Vaikuntha. Who will not enter Vaikuntha? Aghabhido rachananuvada, those who do not take interest in the descriptions of the Supreme Lord Krishna, they will not enter Vaikuntha. Aghabhido rachananuvada. And what do? Why they cannot enter? Why they don't take interest in Krishna Katha? Srinvanti ye anya vishaya, because they hear some other things. And kukathamati ghrihi, because of hearing so many bad topics, materialistic topics, topics related to sense enjoyment, mati ghnihi, their intelligence gets corrupted. That is material intelligence. Srinvanti anya vishaya kukathamati ghnihi. When we are in touch with the material world, we have to be, because we are living in the material world. But when we are too much absorbed and engrossed in material topics and getting updates about so many changes in this material world, so many sense gratificatory proposals or topics in this material world. So politics, then sports, then movies, there are 100 things which the conditioned soul may take interest in. Srinvanti ye anya vishaya kukatha matighnihi. One needs to know things, one needs to develop knowledge about this material world to the degree it is essential for one's own maintenance. One cannot be so dumb. One needs to be smart to live one's life in this world also. Somebody donated something to Prabhupada, and some devotees came and reported to Prabhupada that we got this donation land. So Prabhupada, we are very happy that we got this donation. Prabhupada became very happy, and then he thanked Krishna. It's all Krishna's grace. And immediately he said, get the deal signed. So get it officially sanctioned and make all the legal documents ready. Because the nature of this material world is that, like, certain protocols have to be respected. Unless it comes on your name legally and it is registered on this person's name, on ISKCON's name or whatever, so one may not consider that as this our property. So just respect the protocols of this material realm. Respect the protocols that are there in this material world. Yes, of course, everything is happening by Krishna's grace, but we also have to respect the ways in which the material world functions and do the needful on that plane also. But ultimately our faith is on Krishna. So, but one should develop knowledge about the material realm to the degree it is essential for maintaining oneself. for self-preservation, but not beyond. It should not get into the zone of sense gratification. And one should utilize one's valuable time and energy in cultivating spiritual knowledge, cultivating spiritual inclinations, and working on spiritual practices. So this material intelligence that is represented by this woman, Puranjani, is basically intelligence functioning with ignorance. Intelligence, but functioning with ignorance. So one needs a lot of intelligence to acquire money, for instance. And if the person is ignorant, operating under the bigger shelter of, bigger umbrella of ignorance, he will use very creative ways, he will use his intelligence in very creative ways to earn money, to cheat people. So one should not cheat people. Okay, a person who is innocent does not know how to cheat people. But a person who is intelligent knows how to cheat people for one's own selfish purposes. So now the intelligence of this cheating person is not appreciated as much as the innocence of this simple person. So better to be simple than smart if that smartness is employed to cheat people and to exploit people and exploit the material nature. So one may have so much of intelligence on the material plane, but if one is not having devotional inclinations and bhakti inclinations, and if one is too selfish and materialistic in nature, then that kind of intelligence is material intelligence represented by Puranjani. And this Puranjana married this Puranjani. So 20th sloka till 24th sloka describes the characteristics of this beautiful woman Puranjani. That is material intelligence. So Puranjani is protected by 10 servants who had hundreds of wives. Basically, these 10 servants are 10 senses. There are 5 knowledge senses and there are 5 working senses, eyes, ears, etc. You know all that. So 10 senses with so many desires. Each of these 10 senses have hundreds of desires. So the 10 servants of Puranjani represent 10 senses, and their unlimited desires are compared to their hundreds of wives. Next. This Puranjani material intelligence is also protected by a 5-hooded snake. This is basically vital force or pranavayus. There are 5 pranavayus. And she's very beautiful and young, and she appeared anxious to find a suitable husband. So this is compared to intelligence cannot act without consciousness. So intelligence is there, that element intelligence is there, but the soul's symptom is consciousness. So the intelligence has to be coupled with the soul to operate. Intelligence cannot exist independently. So it has to be the possession of soul. And she had a beautifully decorated face. So that is ways of acquiring knowledge. Her nose represents knowledge to smell. Her teeth represent ability to taste flavors and chew. Her forehead represents clarity of intelligence. And her beautiful eyes with dazzling earrings. So it represents ability to understand the meaning of scriptures concerning enjoyment and liberation. So it's like dharmartha, kama, moksha only. Kama and moksha are only mentioned here. And she's dark in complexion because intelligence covers the Lord for the jiva. Means when the intelligence is material, one cannot see the Lord. That's why she's dark in complexion. So Kunti Maharani also prays, Maya Javanika Channam Agna Dhokshaja Bhavyayam Na Lakshase Moodha Drisha Nato Natya Dharo Yatha. Maya Javanika Channam. So when the curtain of Maya is covering the conditioned soul, when the curtain of material intelligence is embracing the conditioned soul, then the conditioned soul cannot see the Lord. Antar Bahiravasthitam Na Lakshase Sarva Bhutana. Although the Lord is there within and outside, Krishna is there inside us, Krishna is there outside us, Krishna is there everywhere in every nook and corner of the entire creation, entire universe. But we cannot see Krishna. Why we cannot see Krishna? Because of material intelligence, because of Maya covering us. This material intelligence is a product of this Maya, illusory energy. Because of that covering, we are unable to see Krishna. That's why she's dark. Her dark complexion represents this. And she's dressed in yellow sari and gold belt. Intelligence is covered with mode of passion. And she had 2 feet with jingling ankle bells. That is, intelligence is very unsteady in hearing scriptures. These are various attributes of Puranjani, this material intelligence. And this Puranjani liked Puranjana. And Puranjana also got attracted to Puranjani. Her eyebrows and her smiling face and everything. Because through her eyebrows, which are like bows, and she was showering arrows of her glances. Her eyebrows were expressive and her eyes were showering arrows. So these are like bows and the glances are like arrows coming out of her. And that is material intelligence. So one will get attracted to the opposite gender when one is so lusty. But there is a solution to protect oneself from these arrows of Cupid, or arrows of glances of opposite gender that invoke lusty feelings because of the influence of Cupid. The third canto of Bhagavatam says, Hasam hare ravanata khila lokati vra. Mohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya. Bhrumandalam munikrite makaradhajasya. Hasam harer. Avanata akhila loka tivra shoka ashru sagara visoshadam akyudaram. So the conditioned soul has created an ocean of lamentation because of his tears. Avanata akhila loka means he is undergoing threefold miseries and he is in deep lamentation. He was shedding tears and those tears formed a huge ocean of tears. And when we see the beautiful smile of Krishna, this ocean of tears would get vanquished within a moment. That is the power of Krishna's beautiful smile. And the next part of this shloka describes Krishna's beautiful eyebrows. So, Hasam hare ravanata khila loka tivra shoka shri sagara visoshana matyudaram sammohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya. Bhrumandalam munikrite makaradhajasya. Krishna showers his glances. They are like arrows coming from the bows of his expressive eyebrows. When we focus on beautiful eyebrows of Krishna and expose ourselves to the wonderful, loving, compassionate glances coming from the Supreme Lord's eyes, then we can protect ourselves from the arrows released by Cupid. Arrows released by the glances of the opposite gender. So thus, to protect oneself from the onslaughts of lust, one has to meditate on the beautiful eyebrows and glances of Krishna. And to protect oneself from the deep distress, ocean of distress in this material world, one has to meditate on the beautiful smile of Krishna. So in this way, third canto of Bhagavatam describes that one can protect oneself by taking darshan of the Lord. So then Puranjana was attracted to Puranjani and Puranjani also got attracted to Puranjana. The soul gets attracted to material intelligence also gets attracted to the conditioned soul. So Puranjana asked so many questions to Puranjani. He asked, who are you? Where are you coming from? Whose daughter are you? I'm reading from the 26th and 27th shlokas. And what is the purpose of your coming here? Who are your 11 strong bodyguards? So like that, who are those women following you? We already discussed this whole identity. She is material intelligence. So basically, she was asked so many questions because he was attracted to her. He wanted to know her identity so that he can marry her. Actually, a soul is meant to ask these questions. Who am I? Why am I suffering here? Who is God? What is my relationship with God? So in this way, by posing relevant questions, a soul is supposed to cultivate sambandhagna, cultivate knowledge that is relevant for uplifting oneself. But out of illusion, a conditioned soul may ask so many questions about so many materialistic affairs in this world. So he asks so many questions about the material world, but one has to ask spiritual inquiries in front of a spiritual personality. So curiosity to explore how this material energy functions will degrade the soul more and more. So out of curiosity, one may ask so many questions, and he will explore, the conditioned soul will explore deep and deep into the material affairs and get entangled. He will get entangled in a network of material miseries. That's why in the Damodar Ashtakam, the Satyavrata Muni prays, he says that,
Namo Deva Damodar Ananta Vishnu Prasida Prabho Dukha Jalabdhi Magnam Krupa Drishti Vrishtyati Dinam Batano Grihane Sabha Magnam Edhyakshi Drishya.
He says, Namo Deva Damodara Ananta Vishnu, O Deva, O Supreme Lord, O Damodara, O Ananta, O Vishnu, all pervading personality. Prasida Prabho, please show some mercy on me. Why? Dukha Jala Abdhi Magnam. Dukha is distress. Jala is network. Dukha Jala Abdhi. Abdhi is ocean. I am immersed in an ocean of network of miseries. If one is caught by a net, that itself is painful. He is caught in an ocean of such networks of illusion and distress. Please show some mercy. Kripa drishti vrishtyati atidinam batano. Please shower your kripa drishti, loving and affectionate, merciful glances on me. Atidinam, I am so fallen. Atidinam batano, grihanesha mamagnam, edhi akshidrishayihi. Please show and reveal your beautiful form in front of my eyes so that I can be relieved of this material distress. So he is praying like that. So one has to inquire into the identity of oneself and identity of the Supreme Lord. One should inquire, who am I? One should inquire, why am I suffering? Answer to who am I is, we are spirit souls, fragmental parts of the Supreme Lord. And we are eternally servants of the Lord. Jivera Swarupa Hai Krishnera Nityadas. We are eternally servants of Krishna. That is our Swarupa. That is, who am I? Why am I suffering? Because I am averse to a sense of subordination to Krishna. Janasya Krishna Vimukhasya Devata Dharma Shilasya Sudukhitasya. Because people in general are averse to Bhakti Yoga. They are Krishna Vimukha. They have turned their faces away from Krishna. That's why they are suffering in this world. Adharma Shilasya Sudukhitasya, because they are so irreligious, Adharma Shila, they are not righteous, they are not virtuous, Sudukhitasya, they are undergoing distress. The reason for suffering is not having devotion to Krishna. And next question is, who is God? Who is God? Is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So our duty is to render service to Krishna. So these are the right questions that we need to pose and get answers from exalted souls. But instead of asking this kind of questions, the conditioned soul asks actually irrelevant questions out of one's curiosity to explore more and more into the affairs of material world. And that will entangle him more and more. And this person, Puranjan is asking, Puranjani, who are you? Are you Bhavani? Are you Saraswati? Are you Lakshmi? These are all divine goddesses. But you don't seem to be like that. Your feet are touching the ground. Definitely, she is not a divine goddess. She is material intelligence. Her feet will touch the ground only. So I can marry you. If you are Bhavani or Saraswati or Lakshmi, I cannot marry you. But if you are an ordinary woman, I can marry you. So he wanted to confirm that. And he shamelessly and boldly proposed to her. He's saying, you are none of those women as your feet are touching the ground. You can beautify this city along with me. Oh, great. And he proposed to her, will you marry me? And then she also said, yes, you can stay in the city of nine gates and I can remain with you throughout your life. So that's Puranjana and Puranjani get married. And now he is saying, I am agitated. Your glances and shy smiles are agitating me and I am influenced by the power of Cupid. And as we discussed earlier, how to protect oneself from this power of Cupid? By seeing the beautiful eyebrows of Krishna. Kindly show your face with nice eyebrows. This brings us to our today's sloka, 31st sloka, last sloka of our today's discussion. Puranjan is asking, kindly show your face with nice eyebrows and eyes and with your bluish hair scattered about. So please speak sweet words. You just speak. Valguvachakam. Valguvacha means very pleasing, hearty talks. Actually, real Valguvacha, as described by the gopis in their Gopi Gita, this real Valguvacha are spoken by Krishna. So Krishna can speak sweetly. Krishna's talks are most sweet for conditioned souls, for all the living entities to hear. But out of illusion, when we consider the talks of opposite gender to be very sweet, and that freshness and the sweetness in the talks of opposite gender will remain only for short amount of time. So after some time, the sweetness is gone, the excitement is gone, the infatuation is gone, and one will at least at that time has to come back to senses and think that it is Krishna who is the ultimate source of all enjoyment, nourishment and bliss. So we need to take fervent shelter of Krishna. So there are many other aspects in the chapter, because we came up to 31st shloka. We discussed how we summarized half of this chapter with few more insights. And Narada Muni ultimately brings Puranjana. He concludes this allegorical story, and towards the end of this allegorical story, Narada Muni ultimately emphasizes that Prachina Barhi is supposed to perform Krishna Bhakti. And then Prachina Barhi would retire from his kingdom, and then he will perform Krishna Bhakti. Even before his sons, Prachyatas, return back to kingdom, Prachina Barhi retires from his kingdom, and then he will perform Bhakti Yoga. So thank you all very much. Ratha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you very much for the most wonderful class. Fortunate to have your association. So Prabhuji, I have a few questions. I'll try to keep it quick. My first question is...
One small thing. I have another session, Bhagavat Pravaha, third candle at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
So maybe latest by 6:15, we could wind up. 6:10, 6:15.
Okay. That is like another...
10-15 minutes.
Okay, sure. Definitely, Prabhu. I'll try to keep it quick. The first question is about in verse number 20, we talk about intelligence functioning with ignorance. And we also call it material intelligence, right? So my first question was material intelligence in the sense it could be functioning with ignorance, passion or goodness. Is that how we understand that?
Actually, the entire material world is manifested by avidya potency.
Mm.
And if you see the creation chart in the third canto, fifth chapter, and second canto, fifth chapter, the Supreme Lord, Mahavishnu, glances on Prakriti and impregnates Prakriti with jivas, and along with their karma and swabhava, and by the influence of time, that Prakriti or Pradhana or the material nature will transform into Mahatattva. Mahatattva will transform into Ahankara. And that Ahankara is in mode of ignorance. Mm. That false ego is in mode of ignorance. Now, Mahatattva is predominantly into goodness. Okay, because in Pradhana, the modes are not prominent. But when Pradhana transforms into Mahatattva, modes start becoming prominent. When mode of goodness is prominent, Mahatattva is Mahatattva only. When passion or Rajogana becomes active, it becomes Sutra Tattva. And when Tamogona becomes active, it becomes Ahankara or false ego. So false ego, under that false ego or Ahankara, the three modes are there. So these three modes will give rise to 23 elements, the 10 senses and the 5 gross elements and 5 tanmatras and other things. So you know all the 23 elements. So false ego is in mode of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
And under that ignorance in false ego, there are three modes, further three modes.
Got it.
Overall, the material world is manifested from false ego, which is under the umbrella of avidya shakti or ignorance only. Under that, there are so many things.
Okay.
Makes sense. For example, people, they steal, they commit some robbery and they steal some money from some bank or some other person's house. And that is an ignorant activity. But under the umbrella of that ignorant activity, they take equal share. Say 5 people went to steal and they stole 50,000, they will take 10,000 each. There is some goodness there also.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense. So the next question was 21 verse talks about protected by a 5-hooded snake, and we
compare it to the vital force or prana. And my question was, we see that the prana is protecting the intelligence, as well as I think in one of the verses it talks about following, it follows in the front. So my question was, while leaving the body, while transmigrating, we know that the subtle body goes from one body to the other, one gross body to the other. So does the prana follow the subtle body? That is the question.
I'm not sure, but prana may not follow the subtle body. Currently, it seems like that. Prana will just leave the body. Yes, Mataji, I'm sure now. So prana will not follow the subtle body, because the five-headed serpent dies towards the end of this Puranjan episode. We see that five-headed serpent tried so much when the Yavana soldiers and all of them were attacking the Jvara, Prajvara, means the fever at the time of death, and the tenure of conditioned souls, conditional within a material body that is ending. At that time, this pranavayu, this five-headed serpent fights a lot.
Yes.
Five-headed serpent dies, then there is a separation between the soul and the body. Yes,
okay,
the subtle body is carried to the next body, but prana is left within this body.
Okay. Also, I'll later send a verse for clarification from the 11th canto, and we can look into it after the class, Prabhu, because I know you have to leave. I'll just ask one more question. This is about the verse number 22 that talks about the beautiful ears with dazzling earrings. And it talks about two things. As you mentioned, one is for moksha and the other one, I believe, was for karma, if I'm not wrong. Enjoyment, yeah. So basically, we know that the left and the right ear, and we say that the left ear is for spiritual subjects and the right ear is for material subjects. At the same time, we say we receive Diksha Mantras from the right ear. So why is it so? Why is there a change there between the left and the right?
Now, this is an allegorical story, Mataji. So
okay.
When there is an allegory, now different comparisons are given in different contexts. Now, right ear is meant to hear some spiritual sound vibration, and we also hear Gayatri Mantra from Guru through the right ear. So, like, the utility is there. In the right hand, we perform all auspicious things. So, from one perspective of performing Vedic rituals or performing some spiritual activities, certain elements of the body, certain limbs of the body are considered auspicious. When somebody's left side is quivering, and a woman's left side is quivering. For example, Rukmini, her left side was quivering. Her eye and thigh and her hand were quivering. And it's an auspicious sign that Krishna would come and kidnap her. So there are certain contexts in which the comparisons are made, examples are given, and interpretations are made. But this is a context where the different bodily limbs are compared with different different elements of the city. So in this context, these are mentioned, but ability to understand scriptures concerning enjoyment and liberation, it's mentioned like that.
I think it was probably in the next chapter. Yeah, I think it was probably in the next chapter. Again, I'll get back with that verse to see, because it says in one place, left ear is for spiritual matters and right ear is for karmic activities. So that's why I had that question, why it is opposite, but probably we can get back on this later, and I'll let others speak before you carry on, Prabhu. Sorry for holding you. I'll get back on this, Prabhu, to you.
Any other questions? Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for the beautiful class. Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any questions before we end the call?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Did I hear you just say that the prana does not go with the subtle body to the next body, or does go?
According to this allegory, we see that the prana represented by this five-headed snake dies then that soul, the Puranjana, just leaves the nine city of nine gates.
I'm confused because I thought I just learned that it does accompany.
No, no, it doesn't accompany.
It does not accompany the subtle body to the next body.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, a small question. When you summarized at the end, you said that Puranjana gets into bhakti, so he comes to realize God at the end. Prachina Bharati. So, okay, I was just thinking, what happens to Puranjani? So, what is the role of Puranjani in it, and how does she end? So, just thinking about it.
Puranjani is material intelligence, and Puranjana, because of his attachment to this woman, it's allegory basically. He becomes a woman in the next life. He becomes Vaidarbhi. He marries another king named Malayadhvaja. And finally, she meets, after the death of Malayadhvaja, this Vaidarbhi meets Avignata, the super soul, and the super soul enlightens her. And then she will take inclination, to Bhakti Yoga.
Oh, okay, so because of his too much attachment to Puranjani, he gets into women in the next birth.
Yes, yes.
Okay, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for your very wonderful class and enlightening class. If nobody have any questions, we can end the call here. So we are very grateful to you, Prabhuji, and we look for your association again in future. So let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpata rupyasya kripa sindubhya evacha patitana pavanebhyo
vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti
Vaishnavandhi ki jai, Granthat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki.